Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio, and I've got Brother Travis Bryan III on the phone. How you doing, brother?
Brother Todd, just fine. Thanks for having me back on the program, Todd.
Absolutely, brother. We have a subject we're discussing of great intrigue concerning when God withdraws, if you will, and the very purposes for his withdrawals and being redemptive. And it's a very exciting topic, if you will, and scriptural truth to uncover and to discover. And it kind of helps you see the world through different eyes, Brother Travis. What do you think?
Oh, it definitely does, Todd. It gives you a different lens to look at the world and also to look at the Bible through. Because when you see that the bad things that happen to you, Todd, are God allowing those things for a good purpose, a redemptive purpose, then you can begin to relax and accept whatever comes your way and realize you're in a win-win situation. The bad things that happen to you are good, and the good things that happen to you are good. And that's why Paul could honestly say from the bottom of his heart that he rejoiced in his infirmities and took pleasure in his weaknesses and things of that nature, because he realized these events were the transformative things that would grow him closer and deeper into Christ and to God, Todd.
Amen. Do you think that in our humanness that we kind of take it personal? We don't realize this at first. We kind of in our lives with Christ?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. And we're going to talk about Job. You know, he took it personal, and he wanted a trial. He's saying, God, I don't have a sinful lifestyle. Why are these things happening to me? But mm-hmm. God removed his protective hand over Job and allowed Satan to come in and attack for a good purpose. And we see that good purpose in the last chapter of Job, where Job received an understanding of God that he never had before, and secondly, a double portion of blessing.
Amen, brother. Well, one of the passages you have written, you talked about this topic recently, is Psalm 22, brother. And mm-hmm. would you like me to read some of that?
That'd be great. Let's just go. Let's go with the first verse here right now. We'll stop there.
Yeah, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?
Mm.
Amen. Psalm 22.
And Lord. There we see, of course, we know, Todd, that this Psalm of David here is a foreshadowing of the cross, because there are certain keys in here, in various verses, particularly this first one, which the Lord Jesus repeated when he was on the cross. Mm-hmm. So this chapter, Todd, is a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus' experience on the cross, and I would say our experience when we have to take up the cross, Todd.
Amen. And this is the ultimate, Christ is the ultimate example of this truth we're looking at in Scripture, correct?
Oh, absolutely. It's this redemptive withdrawal, which another guy has called it, and I've taken his lead on that. Redemptive withdrawal is a picture of the cross, Todd. Christ's experience there as well as ours. And so we see here in verse 1, that there has been a withdrawal of God, his presence, and the Lord Jesus senses that, and David sensed it when he went through it. But we see the good purpose. Todd, the first half of this psalm, down through 1 through 21, is the death, Todd, the suffering of the cross. And then we begin to turn in verse 22 to the redemptive purpose, and David and ultimately David began to see the blessings of this cross experience in verse 22 toward the end there.
Mm-hmm.
Todd.
Yeah, so Christ, when the Father turned or withdrew himself from Christ momentarily on the cross, that
mm-hmm.
was with redemptive purpose for mankind, correct?
Salvation of the world, that all believers would come to Christ through this same event, Todd, and what a blessing
Amen.
It was. There is the beautiful intent of God there at the cross, even and in the bad things that happened to us, the adversities, the times that he turns us over to Satan, unfair things happen to us. We get sick or we are treated badly. Or maybe even our own failures have taken us to the cross. God has a purpose in letting us suffer there. But, of course, point three of this four components is that God grieves with us, Todd. He suffers with us. We are crucified with Christ, and we're raised with Christ. So God doesn't stand back and ridicule us or laugh as we suffer. No, he goes through it with us, Todd.
Amen, brother. Now, did you want me to pick up in verse 22, brother, on Psalm 22?
Well, let's look at some of the things that – let's just read down through these first 11 verses, and I may say stop, Todd, as you read when I see something
yeah.
we need to discuss. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou did make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none help. There is none to help.
All right, let's stop right there. Todd, you know, none of us will have to go through the suffering and the anguish that the Lord Jesus did on the cross. He took the maximum extent of that. But
amen.
When we take up the cross, Todd, which is put upon us by Satan, and God has withdrawn his protective hand for a good purpose, when we go through these things, we experience these same kinds of thoughts. You know, as you read down through here, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. I mean, these are the emotions that we have. You know, God, I'm in this situation. Save me, save me. And it seems like you're not hearing from me, God. He's withdrawn. Then you move on down here where, you know, I am a worm and no man. We experience our failures, Todd, many times through this cross thing. And certainly Jesus was no worm himself, but he became sin. That means that he took upon us himself our sin. So he became our worm, and he became the reproach of men. And so when we're in failure and defeat, we express these same thoughts and emotions, Todd. And
amen.
You know, it says in verse 8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. These same things were said to Jesus on the cross. Hey, if you're the Messiah, save yourself. Come down. You know, they were mocking him and Your Lord is that great. Let him, hope he'll save you. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, along with, as a general principle, along with how Paul said that he gloried in tribulation and in his own weakness, is it also why James could write, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing." Amen, brother.
And Todd, we all have impurities in us. We have self within us. We have selfish tendencies. And Todd, it's the fire of the cross that burns away this dross and filters us and takes away, the things that we need to be sifted of, like Peter in Luke 22. So, Todd, there is no other way that we can grow except through this redemptive withdrawal process, Todd.
And, seeing the things that happen to us in this life through the eyes of the kingdom and this particular truth is going to make it, I believe, a lot more understandable and bearable to understand that God is, that we're undergoing some surgery, if you will, some circumcising of things out of our lives and some character building and the image of Christ being formed in us. I know when I went in the Marine Corps years ago, in the bus at the airport, before we were even introduced to the Marine drill instructors, a fella got on the bus. He was a Marine already. And, he was a god to him. He began telling my brother and I exactly why the redemptive purposes of what they were going to do to us in there and the reason why.
Yeah.
And that purpose made the whole thing not only bearable, my brother and I went on to excel, but I think it had to do with that understanding that they're trying to break you because they want to eliminate anyone who would not hold up, if you will, in a wartime environment. And so that helped us go through. And I believe those listening today, Brother Travis, will be greatly benefited to embrace and study these scriptures, this biblical truth, and understand that these things are redemptive. They're very violent sometimes. They're very painful, as we see here in Psalm 22. And many of us have experienced in our own personal lives, but they're for the ultimate purpose of God's glory in us, and it's for our good. Amen.
Amen, Todd. And let me just use your example as a, there are people that are lost through this process. If you on that bus, you and your brother had rejected what that fellow said and raged against what the Marine Corps had to allow it for you to happen to you, then you would have been lost. You would have not been trained. You would have not been prepared. You would not have been matured in the ability to fight. And so there are some that reject this process, Todd. They rage against it. They rebel against it. They ridicule the cross. They reject the cross. They say, that's not for me. And so those are doomed by this redemptive withdrawal, Todd. But those that have faith, and that's why Paul is so big on faith, Todd, because faith is what takes us through this process of fire, Todd.
Amen.
Works won't do it. My gracious, you can work all day long, and that won't prepare you for this fire that we have to go through. Faith is the only thing that will take you through that, Todd.
Amen. Job in his suffering said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And we're exhorted here in Hebrews 12 that the Lord is going to chastise all that are his without exception, and whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Hebrews 12.
For a redemptive purpose. Yes, who loves us. That's his purpose in letting this happen. Exactly.
Amen, brother. It's good. It's you have not resisted on the blood, he says, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Amen. And brother, the suffering of Jesus we read about in Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 5, even he, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect,
exactly,
he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That's the ultimate example right there, huh, brother?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, this is the way that we come to be peaceful and obedient and compliant and soft-hearted people, is through these sufferings, Todd, that we have to go through, and the discipline for our failures is the cross, too. When you see that word scourging in there,
yeah,
whoever the Lord loves, he scourgeth. That word scourgeth is a key, Todd, that takes us to the cross and relates the cross to that passage right there.
That's a deep cleansing, it sounds like. That scourging, it's an agricultural term, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know,
exactly,
you're talking about that settled peace, Brother Travis, here. And I'm reminded before we bounce over to Job, which is one of the most popular and just such a profound example of suffering in the right way and for God's glory, is 1 Peter 5:10 says that there's certain things that are going to happen through our suffering as we worship Jesus through it. And I can tell you, I haven't been the best student of that, but God's been gracious to bring me along, Brother Travis, in my suffering, but what little I've suffered. But he is gracious, amen, to all of us in this time, in these seasons, and in these things that we go through. And there are certain things that he produces, perfection or maturity. He establishes us more deeply, strengthens and settles us. It's 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, or perfect you, mature you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. That settled peace, Brother Travis, in my experience,
amen,
from what I believe we read right here, can only come through these times of deep suffering and scourging and seasons like this in our lives. Amen?
Oh, no doubt about it, Todd. And 1 Peter is just a beautiful book on suffering. And at one point in there, you know, he says that the suffering of those that have sinned is good, but the greatest thing is suffering from that those have to suffer who have done good. In other words, there's no sin reason for their suffering, but that's of great value, Todd.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you would say that, because I believe this will speak to somebody. I know it speaks to my heart. If ye be reproached, 1 Peter 4:14, for the name of Christ, happy are ye, you're blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Now, that's a key part that came to my mind by the Holy Spirit, I believe, this week, Brother Travis.
Yes.
We don't really, sometimes we forget that the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon us. And sometimes people hate us, as Scripture talks about, of Christ in particular, and this applies to all believers in the book of Psalms. They hate us without a cause. All we did was do them good. And they hate
That's
us
right.
because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. There are many that I've seen that are supposedly Christians. They go to church every week. That has nothing to do with being a Christian, but they think so. And they've been led to believe they're a Christian, and they're not. And they're some of the worst persecutors against those upon whom the Spirit of glory and of God, the Holy Ghost of God, resting upon you. God's blessing, His blessed Spirit is upon all of His people. And that will draw fire from the enemy. And I believe that's exactly what he's saying in that text there in 1 Peter 4, saints. And he says, don't think it's strange. Don't even be surprised at this kind of stuff. When these fiery trials try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And that's why I think it's really important that we are looking at these verses, Brother Travis. I'm in Job 1 and ready to go here, brother.
Amen, brother. Let's flip over there. And Todd, I'd like to stay on this subject because this thing is deep and pervasive. I think that for the next few programs, we ought to stay on this truth of redemptive withdrawal. But in Job, let's start at verse 6 and go down to 12, Todd.
Absolutely. And saints, I want to encourage you to possibly consider reading the first two chapters of Job from time to time, and then going to the last chapter and see how God recompensed him and brought resurrection blessings after his death and burial, if you will, in all of these sufferings. It does us, our hearts, a lot of good to recalibrate our thinking in this world. Amen. Now, verse 6, Job 1.
And Todd, before you start, let me just say that the thing about Job 1 and 2 is that God allows us to look behind the curtain here, to look behind the veil at who it is that is actually the perpetrator of these bad things that happened to us. And this is a universal truth that whenever any bad thing happens to you, it is Satan doing it to you, and God has allowed it for a redemptive purpose. Now, that is a great fact because God loves you. God wants the best for you. God is on your side. He's for us. Who can be against us? So out of this truth of redemptive withdrawal, we really do realize that God does unconditionally love us, even in the bad things that happen. Satan is the perpetrator. God is allowing it. Now, go ahead, Todd.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when we come out of the other end, that's when we can say with Paul, hey, man, I like this. Wow. When I'm weak, then he's strong in me. In other words, when I've been brought low and I'm a worm, if you will, as we read in Psalm 22, that doesn't mean you're some little moral coward pansy. It just means that you've been humbled, if you will, under the mighty hand of God. And then you can say with Paul, wow, man, when I'm weak, then that's when I'm strong. Because in the kingdom of God, the way the kingdom economy works is that the only way up is down. The only way up is first through the cross and the burial. And then Christ brings that resurrection blessing in our lives. Verse 6, Job 1, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, when comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made hedge about
Satan? Yeah. Saying, Todd, Satan's saying, Job is selfish. That's the only way. You bless him. That's the only reason he follows you. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things you brought out in the past that really stands out here is that this was an upright man. I mean, he was perfect and upright and feared God. Whoa.
He did.
And so many times before we realize some of these things we're talking about in the Word today, saints, you may be like me. I'm like, what? Why is all this happening to me? What did I do? I'm trying to serve God. Job was serving God. He was an upright and perfect in heart man, if you will. The Bible says that. And so that must mean that echoes what Hebrews 12 says, Brother Travis, am I correct? That all of us have to endure and go through and undergo the chastening of the Lord.
Exactly, because God is not looking for good people, Todd. He's looking for God people. This goodness that we have is still the old man, and it has to be stripped away.
Yes. And another truth just came to mind, and I don't want to lose it or let it slip away about, oof, I guess it just slipped away, but John 15, and this is a real encouragement to all of us, Brother Travis, and to the saints that listen to this program. The Lord said, hey, when you bear fruit by abiding in me, I'm going to purge you. There's that word scourging again, so that you bring forth more fruit. So if we're undergoing the chastening hand of God, which we all will do on a regular basis, and through seasons of deep trials, etc., that only proves that we're in Christ and that he's pleased with the fruit that he's bringing forth in the garden of our life, if you will, where Christ is rooted more and more deeply. And therefore, he's doing things to bring about even a richer soil to bring forth even more fruit. That's a beautiful, victorious blessing right there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Now, you want me to pick up in what, verse 10 here?
Yeah, if we got time, let's try to finish this.
Got about 2.5 minutes. Let's see if I can read fast here. Hast thou not a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Verse 11.
All right, stop there. Now, there's that hedge. That's a hedge of protection about him, Todd, right there. And that's God is fixing to withdraw that hedge for a good purpose. Go ahead, Todd.
Amen. Verse 11. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord.
Then let me say this, Todd. Notice this word hand here. Satan says to God, put forth thine hand, as if that is the actual hand of God. But in the next verse, the Lord says, all that he hath is in thy power, which is in the King James marginally translated hand. All that he hath is in thy hand. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So we see here that the stretched out hand of God in anger is actually the hand of Satan here. You read this, you see that Satan, when he says stretch out thy hand, he's talking about let me have
you.
Yes. I will be thy hand for this purpose. And then the Lord said, all right, all that he hath is in thy power or in thy hand, only upon himself put not forth. So we see God putting limits on this thing right there, Todd.
We got about 60 seconds left, Brother Travis. Fabulous truth here. Now, does this parallel how it was Satan who inflicted Paul with the thorn in the flesh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is right along with that.
Yeah, it says Satan gave him that thorn in the flesh, right?
Oh, absolutely. And God allowed that he prayed three times that it would be removed, and God didn't remove it because it was there for a good purpose to keep Paul humble in spite of these glorious revelations that he had, Todd. There's a temptation to arrogance for those that have revelation.
Yes, yes. And, you know, someone is probably suffering that's listening as we close here, and God, we have cried out in those times, and maybe somebody's crying out right now in their life for the Lord to remove that thing that is tormenting them, that person, whatever that is causing that deep pain, and perhaps God hasn't removed it yet because he's doing his good pleasure in our lives through that season, so that we can say, my grace is sufficient for thee. We can say, we can receive from Jesus what he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And that the power of Christ may rest upon us in our infirmities. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12:9. God bless you, saints. Thank you for listening. Brother Travis, as usual, God bless you. Thank you, brother.
God bless you, brother. Thank you very much. Bye.
Yes, sir.